I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die,
South Africans are marking Mandela Day on July the 18th, the 94th birthday of the nation's former president and Nobel Peace Prize laureate, Nelson Mandela. But what are the special qualities that make Mandela one of the world's most revered statesmen? And on a more anecdotal note, why did President Mandela have trouble one Christmas Eve obtaining some chocolate for his grandchildren? Catholic priest Father Sean O'Leary is the director of the Dennis Hurley Peace Institute in South Africa and has met Nelson Mandela many times. He's interviewed by Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges.
I would think it's because of his personal experience as a man. When you consider that he spent 27 years in jail and not under good conditions, and when he walked out of that prison in 1991, and his first message to South Africa was one of reconciliation and not revenge, one of unity and not division, the people immediately warmed to the person that fit very much with the image that people had, because his name was synonymous around the world with people who had fought for what is right and paid the ultimate, not quite the ultimate price, but paid the price of being 27 years incarcerated. And I think the image fitted the man. And together, if you like, in those words of Seamus Heaney, for once, the long for a tidal wave of history dawned and hope and history rhymed in that sense.
Now, you've met Nelson Mandela many times. What for you are his greatest qualities? I mean, is there some characteristic of his that really struck you at these meetings when you were meeting him face to face?
Well, I was a priest in Soweto when he was released in 91, and he came out on a Sunday. He came to Soweto on the Monday, and a small delegation from my parish went down to his house to greet him. And it was almost that he was kind of speechless by the fact that people were coming to see him. He couldn't understand it. And I think that humbleness, that meekness struck me very much. As the years went by, we began to meet at different functions. And I was very chuffed that he would even remember my name. And he would always call me Father Sean.
He's also got quite a good sense of humour, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, have you had? Can you give us any examples of that?
Now, I'll just tell you very quickly. In January 95, he was president. And he would call church leaders' meetings like 2 days before. And normally it should be Cardinal Napier or the Secretary General of our Bishops' Conference, but both were away. I was then running the Justice and Peace Department, so I was asked to go. The meeting was very early at 7 in the morning, but I got there very early. And the people told me, look, go up to the room and there's some breakfast available and make yourself whatever you want. I had just got in and in walked Mandela. It was just the two of us. So he says, how are you? And I said, I'm well. And he took a cup of tea, I took coffee, and I said, well, how was your Christmas? And he said, let me tell you a little story. He says, I was in the presidential office on Christmas Eve, and I felt I should give all my staff the afternoon off so that they could go and shop and prepare for Christmas. And I was left with a bodyguard and a driver. But I realized that I was having my grandchildren over for Christmas Day, and I'd nothing for them. So I took out the phone book, and I rang one of the chocolate factories. And I said to the young lady who answered, I said, this is President Mandela. I need to talk to somebody about chocolate. And she said, I don't like you intimidating and trying to mock our president. And she put the phone down. And then he asked his bodyguard for the name of another factory to make chocolates. And he rang again and he said, please take this number down. It's the personal number of President Mandela. And ask one of your managers to ring me back, which they did. He explained his predicament and they said they would have a truck around within an hour, which they did. So he duly went down, took all the chocolates he needed, put them into the boot of his state car. And the chap said, well, that's a present from us. And he said, no, I insist on paying. So they wrote up an invoice, and then they gave it to him. And he said to me, I had no money on me. I had borrowed the money from my driver. And he found that to be a very funny story, which I did as well, and a very human story.
Yes, he certainly comes across with a great charisma. And as you said, he's totally without bitterness, isn't he, for this very harsh treatment that he had, you know, spending 27 years behind bars. Did he ever talk about that period with you?
No, he doesn't in general refer to that. He did tell us once, but we were a group at the time, that he realized that there was no way forward, and this is very important for South Africa, without, if you like, the Afrikaner or the white person. And so he set himself a task while in jail to learn their language, which we call Afrikaans, which meant that when he did begin to dialogue with the government, even when he was still in jail, he spoke to them in their language. And that, he said, for him was very important because they were absolutely amazed that he could converse with them in their own language.
Since stepping down as president, Nelson Mandela has been involved in a number of peace negotiations in other countries, in Africa and elsewhere. And he's also campaigned against HIV/AIDS, which, of course, is so prevalent in South Africa, and has touched even his own family. In fact, many people were struck by how open he was about the disease and not hiding the fact that his own son died of AIDS. I mean, this is breaking a taboo, really, isn't it? And it's another example.
It is indeed. It is indeed. One of the most important aspects of Mandela after his release was his love of children. He said that the greatest thing he missed while in jail was the sight and sound and laughter of children. And so he set himself a personal goal to make sure that he would do as much as he could to improve the life of children throughout the world, but particularly in South Africa. And one of the areas that affected him most was the fact of young children being born with HIV/AIDS and dying at a very young age. And he has done a tremendous amount of charity with the Nelson Mandela Foundation, which is, if you like, targeted towards helping children in many aspects throughout the country. And I think his way of dealing with things is to be honest, upright, and to acknowledge that HIV/AIDS is the scourge of our century.
Mandela Day, of course, always falls on his birthday. How is Mandela Day being celebrated throughout South Africa?
You could argue that the National Day of South Africa is the 27th of April, when we had our first election in 94. But the 18th of July is far more popular in the minds and hearts of the people. There is a campaign called the 67 Minutes, where everybody, including institutions or individuals, are asked to do something charitable in the name of Nelson Mandela. And schools, factories, and universities, everyone seems to have a little contribution to make the country a better place. Everybody is aware that this is Nelson Mandela's birthday, and everybody is aware that they are called upon, in the name of the great man, to make a small contribution towards making the country a better place, and in particular, assisting and helping the more marginalized people in our society. And I think that's the impact of his birthday, that it is a pouring out of all that is good in the minds and hearts of a nation to visibly show that they care about their brothers and sisters. And I find that extraordinary.
And how do South Africans view Mandela? I mean, is he admired by everybody no matter what?
I think so. I would say, you know, it is fair to say that I doubt he has any enemies. Even the most right-wing of the old guard, we call, of the old racist government, would still have a tremendous respect for Mandela. Though they may not accept the present government and the present President Zuma, somehow Mandela has risen beyond all that and has become an icon of truth and hope for a new country.
And finally, what for you will be Mandela's greatest legacy? Or put it another way, if Mandela had not been around, how different would the history of post-apartheid South Africa have been?
Well, I think we see it throughout the world. Leadership is the issue. Bad leadership produces countries in turmoil, as we say now in Zimbabwe. Good leadership does the opposite. It liberates countries. And I think that's what Mandela did personally, by his charisma, by the person he is. He liberated South Africa from the shackles of the past, which were shekels that were based on racism, division, to a united country where love and respect reigns, maybe not totally, but surely tremendously different from the post-90 period.